I think the last thing we were discussing, in addition to Kol Ben Necher Leo Kalbo, was the Gemara here on Yud Omen Beis, Yud Aleph Omen Aleph, the Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That's what we were in the middle of. Okay. Right, so let's get back to Shaklo Tarya first, and then we'll briefly recap where we are, and we'll continue from there. So the Gemara here says on Yud Omen Beis that, again, the Gemara speaks about a topic which is connected to the other topics that we've been discussing, but in a later phase or a later stage. The question is, again, the Gemara is testing the relationship between Yibum and Chalitza on the one hand and Eishes Ach on the other. Just that previously, that issue was very much on the table prior to the Yibum and prior to the Chalitza. And in this Gemara, we're trying to analyze what happens after Yibum and after Chalitza, both in the case of Chalitza between the parties themselves, and in the case of Yibum and Chalitza, if there are other brothers and other co-wives or rival wives. So what effect does Yibum and Chalitza have on those relationships going forward? That's the discussion. So the Gemara says Itmar. This is this runs through the Gemara again, 12 lines down, or 13 lines down. It's the second word on the line, 12 or 13 lines down. Itmar. Hacholitz livemto. If a person does chalitza, again there are a bunch of brothers. One who dies leaves no children. There are a number of brothers who could be candidates to be the Yavam. There are also a bunch of wives, any of which could be either the Yavama or the Chalutza. So what we're being told is, Acholetz Livemto, if one of the brothers, one of the surviving brothers, does Chalutza with one of the wives, selects one of the wives, the Chazav Akidsha, and then after doing Chalutza, he decides to marry her. Now, can he do that? So what we're being told is that, at least according to the Babli, everybody agrees, it seems, that there's an Iser after Chalitza for him to marry his Chalutza. The question is it only an Iser Lav or Aseh? What exactly is it? Or does it border on, maybe over the border of, Eshes Ach? That's the question. Acholetz Livemto v'chazor v'kidsha, after he's Choletz or he's Mekadesher, and the point is that if it isn't Chayvei Krisos, the Kedushin will be Tofes because Kedushin is Tofsin, B'chayvei Lavin, where we don't paskin like Rabbi Akiva, who says that Chayvei Lavin is no Tfisas Kedushin. So, because of a Kidsha, Amar Eish Lakish, who ain Chayav ala Chalutza Kares, the Ha'achim Chayavin ala Chalutza Kares. The rule is that the Choletz and the Chalutza, there's no Kares, and therefore there is Kedushin, right? But if any of the brothers want to be Mekadesh, the Chalutza, they didn't do the Chalitza. One of the brothers did Chalitza. One of the other brothers want to marry her, right? According to Reish Lakish, that would constitute Chayvei Krisus. That would be Eishes Ach. On the other hand, El Hatzara, if he, the Choletz, or any of his brothers who were on the sideline, right, for this entire event, if any of them want to marry one of the co-wives, she was on the sideline the whole time. In other words, there was one Chalutza. The others were all on the sideline. If any of the brothers, including the Choletz, is interested in marrying any of the Tzaros, so Bein Hu, Bein Ha'achin, Chayavin, Ala Tzara, Kares. This is a Chiyuv Kares based on the Iser of Eishes Ach. So basically, all in a nutshell, what Reish Lakish says is that the relationship between the Choletz and the Chalutza after the Chalitza is a Lav, a Chayvei Lav relationship. All other relationships, meaning the relationship of the Choletz to any of the co-wives, the relationship of any of the passive brothers, right, to either the Chalutza or to any of the co-wives, according to Reish Lakish, is a Kares Eishes Ach relationship. That's what we have so far. For Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Bein Hu, Bein Ha'achin, Einan Chayavim, Lo Ala Chalutza Kares, V'lo Ala Tzara Kares. Rabbi Yochanan takes the opposite view. Rabbi Yochanan says there is no Eishes Ach / Kares relationship at all in this situation. After the chalitza between one brother and one co-wife, right, even though there are other wives and there are multiple brothers, any combination of the relationships between these parties is a chayve lavin rather than a kares relationship. That is the view of Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara explains, my time of the Reish Lakish. I'm sorry? The Kiddushin is on the surface, I mean, there are some Rishonim who say some interesting things as Havaminas. They wonder why we have to be talking about Kiddushin. But, you know, that aside, the Kiddushin is highlighting these relationships. It's not generating them. In other words, even if we're talking about B'li Kiddushin, we're talking about a Chayve Lavin, for Bilchin, we're talking about a Chayve Lavin relationship, and for Reish Lakish, except for the Kolets and the Chalutza, right, we're talking about a Chayve Krisis relationship. Then you might ask, so why are we talking about Kiddushin particularly? That's a question that Tosis and the other Rishonim ask, and give different answers to.
So clearly with Kiddushin, she would become now an Ashes Ach for all the other brothers, vis-a-vis the one who was Cholet's Kiddushin.
Correct.
So there would should be a definite correlation.
Yeah, but we're not talking about that.
Okay.
I mean, that's true. Meaning, but the question would be, as we'll soon see, and what would happen if, let's say, the Rishonim speaks about this case, let's say the Cholets, the Chalutza, he marries her, Tzchaybe Lavin, but the Kiddushin is Tofes. Let's say he dies, right? What about them, meaning the other brothers, being Miyabim, her, right? They have an Eishes Ach relationship with her from the first marriage, but now they have a Yibum relationship with her for the second marriage. That would be interesting. You know, hopefully we'll get back to that. That's not what you're asking.
No.
Okay. But you're right. I mean, all things being equal, of course, I mean, she's an Eishes Ach. And even if there was a divorce, there at minimum would be Eishes Ach from the second brother.
According to Reish Lakish, there would be a situation where...
I mean, even according to Reb Yochanan.
I mean, according to Reb Yochanan, there would be a case where there would definitely be a Karius.
Yeah, but that's misleading. I mean, that's true, but that would be based not on the previous relationship, but on a new reality, just like any Eishes Ach.
Yeah,
100%. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara says, my time of the Reish Lakish. Then what is the reasoning of Reish Lakish, who, we're trying to keep this in our minds, Reish Lakish, the one who says that aside from the Cholitz, the Chalutza, right, even after Chalitza, everything goes back to Kares, to Eishes Ach. What's his reasoning? So the Gemara says, Amar Kra, Asher lo Yivneh. Right, the Torah says, when it talks about Chalitza, that you do Chalitza, you might just the spitting, everything, Kashelo, because he, right, he said, Me'en Yibami, he refused to do Yibam, Asher lo Yivneh. And the drasha is, Kivin Shalabana Shuv lo Yivneh. He had an opportunity to do Yibam. Once he doesn't exercise that opportunity is squandered, it's gone. So he can't decide after Chalitza that all of a sudden he wants to marry her. Or even if he said, I changed my mind, I want to do Yibum, which is the equivalent of trying to marry her in some sense, he can't do that. Asher lo Yibneh, right? Kivin Shalabana, Shuv lo Yibneh. He had his chance, he squandered it, it's over. Narrow window of opportunity. And the drasha is that is as far as the cholates and the chalutz are concerned. But ihu hu dekoyed b'lo yibne, that refers to the cholates. Aval echav, his brothers kidekaimi kaimi. They don't have asher lo yibne. They have what they always had, what they had originally, which is eishes ach, which is kares, which is lack of tefisas kedushin. And the same logic applies not only to the brothers and the chalutza, but to everybody, including the cholates and the tzaros being the co-arrival wives. Now the cholates, vis-a-vis the chalutza, has a din of lo yivna, ha-tzara, but even the cholates, vis-a-vis other tzaros, Kidakaimi kaimi is an Iser Heshes Ach. Rabbi Yochanan, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Rabbi Yochanan says, Mi kimidi de mi kare, ibai hai chalitz, vahashta koyale bekareis, ela iush lichusa da achim kavad, Ihi shlichusa d'tzara ka'avda. So the reasoning of Rabbi Yochanan is, and this to be already noted, right, there really seem to be two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. The question is, are there really two? If there's only one, you know, how do we understand the relationship between what seems to be the two? Is it the ratio or the seifa, which is ikar? If there are two, are they two separate points, or are they two independent points but connected? In other words, two different statements are being made here, but it's not a coincidence that each one's being made. What am I talking about? What are the two statements? What is the rationale of Rabbi Yochanan? So the first one is mi ikimidi. So Rabbi Yochanan basically says, if every one of these brothers could have been the Yavam, if every one of these wives, co-wives, could have been the Yavama, then none of them are subject after that potential anymore to the Isur of Eshesach. The fact that we would have waived Eshesach for Yibum, both mitzad the males and mitzad the females, right, is irrevocable. We don't go back. There's no chos of an error when it comes to Eshesach. Not mitzad the men, not mitzad the women. That's what the words mi kara, right, that's what these words mean when he said, mi kenidi, is it possible to mi kara, ibai haichalitz, ibai haichalitz, saying about any of the brothers. In other words, he could have, this one could have done the chalitza, that one could have done the chalitza, one of them did, but it could have been any of them. Right? Moreover, Iboy Lehai Chalitz on the women's side, Iboy Lehai Chalitz, any of the women who were proper candidates for Chalitza. So the fact that they were, any of them, all of them, each of them, a candidate, Bahashta Koya Le Bekares, there's no going back. The question is, what is the relationship between that one more second and the next sentence, which is Hela, Iushlichusa Dachim Kaved, Iushlichusa Dzara Kaavda? Because you might think it's superfluous. Right? The second statement says, you think, Reish Lakish, that you can distinguish between the Cholitz and the Chalutza because you think that there are people who are active here and there are people on the sidelines. Right? There are people who are passive. There's the Cholitz and the Chalutza, and they have a special status. And then there's the brothers and the co-wives, you know, who are not involved, albeit their fate is affected. That's what you think, Reish Lakish, but you're wrong. Really, that's what it sounds like. Really, everybody is active because there's either a collective Zika / Chalitza / Yibum or a representational Zika and Yibum and Chalitza, so that while one man and one woman are actually actively involved, the fact is that whether it's the collectivity, the representational aspect, however you want to explain it, right, everybody is connected, is mitzuraf, or is, if you want to think of it as real shlichus, or you don't need real shlichus, everyone is mitzuraf to the maitza chalitza, to the maitza yibum. There are multiple choltzim, choltzos, if you want to say it that way. I mean, part of the question is how far will you say. Now, the truth is that, as I said before, you could have said each or either of these as standalone justifications. You could say there's no yichus to the cholitz and the chalutza because what's being done by one, is done on behalf of the others in various explanations or models. You said collectivity, representational, shlichus, tziruv, however you want to explain it. In which case, you don't necessarily need to say, oh, it was the potential, or the potential is a setup. And if you want to emphasize the seifa, you might say that the resha is the background for the real explanation, which is the seifa. The resha says, listen, anybody here could be the yama. Anybody here could be the yama. And therefore, the actions taken by one yavam, one yavama, or one chalutza, one cholitz, one chalutza, is therefore a collective or a representational or a mitzuraf kind of an action. But what we care about is that seifa, the fact that no one's on the sidelines. Al pidin, everybody did an act of yibum and chalitza and so on. Not the kinyan part of it, probably, that doesn't make sense, but at least the maisa, the hafka, zika, and so on. That would be one way to explain it. If you want to emphasize the first part, then we go back to our old, and this is really, where we came from, hutra dechuya issue. What he might be saying is, you can't go back to Eish Yisach for a very simple reason. Eish Yisach, you know, has been gone from the moment that there was a potential of Yibum. Part of what Hutra, right, might establish, I'm saying, I'll explain in a moment, as opposed to Dechuya. Dechuya says, listen, even in the moment where you seem to be on the cusp of, even when you're actually fulfilling, right, the mitzvah of Yibum, even in that moment, there is something called Eish Yisach. It's just overridden by a greater imperative, namely the mitzvah of Yibum. So from that point of view, from a Dechuya point of view, you could argue, you don't have to argue, but default, you would start off with thinking that you would argue, that Eish Yisach is never really gone. You don't need to talk about being Chozer V'Neir, really, even, because even in the heights of Yibum, there's Eish Yisach. Right? It's just eclipsed or overridden, so it doesn't look that way. But, you know, if you have a halachic and a more subtle halachic eye, right, you could see that, you know, the Yibum, even in the actual context of Yibum, is Eish Yisach. So why not say, you know, from that perspective, that whoever is not involved in the act of Yibum, the Chalitza, you know, is Kidekoi, Koi, which means Eish Yisach. So if you take Dechuya, it's easy to understand, as we've explained, the position of Reish Lakish. So maybe that's exactly what, if you say Hutra, you could read Rabbi Yochanan, and you don't even need the Sefer. Right? You could just suffice, if you want, with the Reisha, unless you say that's the Pshat in the Sefer, just like we said a moment ago, the opposite. Namely, instead of saying the Reisha is a setup for the Sefer, well, we say that the Sefer is just another way of repeating the Reisha. What do I mean by that? If you say Hutra, but, not just Hutra, Hutra Mishas Nefila, meaning the second that there is a death, there's no children, there are candidates, at that moment, Mishas Nefila, when the brother dies and there are no children, at that moment, the Isur of Eish Yisach is Hutra. It's Poka. So then you might say, it's gone. There's no Chozer V'Neir, because it's Hutra. That's what Hutra means, maybe. So then, that's a sharper way to explain the Reisha. Mi Kemidi, meaning the fact that everybody was a candidate, instead of being the fact that everybody candidate chose their all Mitzurah, or it's collective, or it's representative, forget about that. The fact that everybody was a candidate, meaning the fact that there's a Mitzius of people, means they eradicated Eish Yisach. It's just off the agenda. It's not overridden. It's not here. If it's not here, then it doesn't come back. Come back from where? Right? So that's what Rabbi Yochanan means when he says, me can be thee. She could have been his Yabama. He, meaning any of the brothers, could have been the Yabam. There's no Eish Yisach. So if they didn't implement Yibam or Chalitza, and the other brother did, even if there's no representational or collective or even Mitzurah to the Maiso, to the Matir, it doesn't make a difference. There's still no Eish Yisach, because there hasn't been Eish Yisach for the longest time. So this is the question, how to read, is the Reisha set up for the Seifa? Is the Seifa another way of reiterating the Reisha? Or are there really two dinim and you need both? Or maybe there are two dinim and you don't need both, but if you're a Hutra person, you're also more likely to see Zika in collectivist or representational terms, just in a general sense. I don't know if I'll get back to that, but that's an important idea.
Does he need actual Oibna?
Who?
Rabbi Yochanan.
He uses Rabbi
Yochanan.
Why does
he need it? It's Sutra.
It's a separate Isser.
Why does he need
it? It's nothing to do with. It has nothing to, if it's Hutra, it has nothing to do with Eish Yisach.
There's no integration here
with
the
Issa Kois.
There's
nothing to do with
Issa Kois.
It's a lab, it's a separate lab.
So there's a lab.
Called
Lo Yibna. So it's a lab. But is that the germane of you?
Why is it germane?
Why does it say Asher Lo Yibna was never written in the Torah?
Right, so if you're a Dechuya person,
yeah,
that if it had not been written Asher Lo Yibna, you would have thought that there'd be an Asis Ach and Kares. If you're a Dechuya person, if you're a Hutra person,
yeah,
if it didn't write Asher Lo Yibna, you'd think that it's Mutzal Gamri. And we'll see that in a moment. In Akhanami. That's why it's fascinating that, okay, so let's talk about that. So this is the Gemara. The Gemara goes on to, I think we read this part already in the bottom. The Gemara goes on to try to bring rise one way or another. The Gemara Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, which I am going to read again now just for a second, the end of the Gemara, applies the same argument of Reish Lakish to Yibum. Because earlier, the Gemara Yud Aleph Amud Beis is applying it to Chalitza, right? This is the Chalitza and the Chalutza. What happens in the case of Yibam and Yibama, right? So the Gemara says, Itmar, this is like almost 50% down, or 3, 6, 9, 12, again, like 13 or 14 lines down. First word in line is Itmar. Abalya ala Yibama, right? There actually is a Yibam, not a Chalitza. Yibam. Uba echad min achim altsa rasa. Right? If it's like we discussed before, just like it is Kedushin, right? Once it's Yibum, so there's Eishasach, so there's no issue, it's not comparable to the Chalutza case, unless it was Chalutza Lach or Kedushin. So you have to, the case here has got to be, right, the relationship of the Yabum to the Tzaros, or the relationship of the brothers to the Tzaros. Because the relationship of the brothers to the Yabama is Eishasish, and of course, Eishasach, both. Okay, so that's why the Gemara says Abba Ayubama Uba Echad Min Achim Al Tzarasa. That's why it has to be that case. Pligibar Avacham Rabbi Nachanam Bekares Chanam Biase. One said it's Isakares, the other said it's only in Isarase. Wow. So the Gemara says Manam Bekares Kareish Lakish. The Kareish person is Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish, as we know, is very open, right, to the return of, or maybe not returns, maybe returns the wrong way of saying it, right, of Eish HaSach. But that's Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan thinks that Eish HaSach is long gone. Right, so for him, that's Man Damar Basay to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so we'll see in a minute, or, you know, hopefully, going forward, we'll see, hopefully today, if not, then next week when we finish this off, that there might be some other differences between Yibam and Chalitza when it comes to this issue. Now, this is an interesting question, right? The whole sugya is an interesting question. What is the relationship, you know, that results from an act of Chalitza? And then, parallel question, what are the relationships in terms of Eish HaSach, in terms of a separate lav or a separate asay, as a result of a Yibam? Now, the Gemara largely treats them in parallel, and the Gemara says, oh, there's a machlokas about Yibum too, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Fine. But you can understand that maybe logically we can be machalik between Yibum and Chalitza. So we want to investigate that as well. See, in the Yerushalmi, this is an important factor. Because, again, we spent time this year analyzing the relationship between Yibam and Chalitza, showing that in many respects there are parallels, and in many respects there are important differences between them. So isn't it possible that the question of representational or collective Zika, that you might be Mechalik between Yibam and Chalitza? And isn't it possible that, you know, when it comes to the question of you know, whether we're dealing with kind of a matir or a kinyan, that there's a difference between Yibam and Chalitza. So even though the Gemara seems to treat them in parallel, we should have our eyes open whether or not there aren't important, if yet subtle, differences between them. Even in the Gemara itself, there's already a hint at that, although it doesn't survive according to all girsos. If you notice, when the Gemara quotes Ravina and Ravacha, what is it, Ravina and Ravacha. So the Gemara says, Chad Omar Bekares, the Chad Omar Biase. Correct? But when it came to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish in Choletz and Chalutza, it was Chad Omar Bekares, the Chad Omar Belav, Leivne. So is there any significance to that? That's an interesting question. We'll discuss it more fully, but we have other things to finish first. But just, you know, just foreshadowing, Rashi and the Rambam have the gifts that we have in the Gemara, and they defend it, right? And according to them, it's interesting to ask whether or not this isn't significant. And even when you have this parallel of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish between Yibum and Chalitza, right, there's an assay when it comes to Yibum, and a bigger violation, a lav, when it comes to Chalitza. However, Tosis, if you look at this Tosis here, Chad Omar Biasei, Tosis starts off, Kain Girsas HaKuntras, Upirish HaKuntras, etc. We'll get to it, but Rabbeinu Hananel, Tosis, Ramban, Osan Chachmei Svarad, they argue that the Girsa is wrong. And that even Ravina and Ravacha, when they're talking about Yibum, are also talking about not kares and lase, but kares and alav. And that's very important. We'll get to that.
I didn't see bo echad mino achim al-tzorasa. What happens if the miyabim himself was bo al-tzorasa?
So that's a very, very good question. A very good question. The Rashi, al-Atar, says that even Reish Lakish would agree that it's only ba'ase.
You're saying he takes two wives?
What?
He's taking two of them.
Meaning if he did, again, in parallel, let me make it clear. Your question's a good question. You're looking in parallel again. In Chalitza, Reish Lakish says that the Cholitz, if the Cholitz is involved with one of the Tzaros, not the Chalutza, right, that would certainly be Karis.
Right.
What does Reish Lakish think about the Yavam being involved with the Cholitz? So you would think that the answer would be if the Yavam with a Tzara. If the Yavam was involved with a Tzara, then according to Reish Lakish, that should be Karis. That is the view of the Bali Tosas. That is also the view of the Rif and a bunch of Rishonim. However, Rashi here takes a different perspective. Rashi here, Dibra Maskil, I'll tell you in a second. Which Rashi is it? That's a different issue. One second, just give me one second. I don't want to waste too much time, but by Sakhar Bonavim Bob is say. So this Rashi basically assumes that we knew that the Yavam's relationship with the Tzara is an Asay, but that there's no dispute about that. And Rabbi Yochanan is telling you that Huadin, the brother's relationship with the Tzara. Right? That's what Rashi implies. And that's what the Bali Tosas pick up on. Again, I don't want to go into all the details a moment, but that's what Tosas and the Tosas Arash and the Rajba, we have some of the Bukharos on the sheet. They all pick up on that. They made that diuk in Rashi. And they ask the question, why does Rashi think that Reish Lakish, right, when it comes to Choletz and Chalutza, treats the Choletz's relationship to the Tzara, right, in the same way that as a Shar Achim and the Tzara, and yet when it comes to Yibum, he treats the Yavam's relationship with Tzara differently than Shar Achim's relationship with Tzara? That's what you were asking. So that's the Rashi. The Rif disagrees. The Tosa Rosh and the Rajba imply that Rashi is not, this is connected, in other words, so to say, in a double negative way, that Rashi is connected to Rashi's Girsa, that there's another difference, namely, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, right, there's an asay and not a lav. So too, according to Reish Lakish, there's a difference, namely, that even Reish Lakish agrees that the Yabam, vis-a-vis the Tzara, is not Bakaris. We'll try to explain it but as we go forward. But that's a very good question. We'll see that the Rishalmi thinks that there is another Nafkamina between Yibam and Chalitza, and that is the relationship of the other brothers to the Yavama. I'll just tell you that now, and we'll see the Rishami later on. Again, according to Reish Lakish, what is the relationship between the Chalutza and the other brothers? Karis. Correct? However, for some reason, the Yerushalmi thinks that the other brothers can be miyabim this woman, that's the Yavama, right? If the Yavam dies. The question is why? Right? Don't they still have the old Iser Eshesach from the first marriage? According to Reish Lakish. Yet Yerushalmi seems to think that, again, there's another, that's like three already discrepancies between the parallel of Yavam, Yavama, Achim, Saros, as opposed to Cholitz, Chalutza, Achim, and Saros. Okay, so one is Aseir Lav, the other is the Chiddush of Rashi, that the, even Reish Lakish seems to agree that the Yavam and his relationship to the Tsaros is not a Karis relationship. And the third is the Yerushalmi that seems to say that the brother's relationship to the Yavama is not a Karis relationship. After, of course, the Yavam, the first Yavam, dies, as opposed to the Cholitz, the Chalutza, where the other brother's relationship to the Chalutza is like their relationship to the Tsara, which is one of Karis. So these are three discrepancies which we need to look at, and which will be important, again, to phenomenologically, to explain why, even though Yibum and Chalitza are both solutions to the Zika problem, right, but they're apparently different kinds of solutions. And that's very consistent with things we saw, in the beginning and throughout the year. So, well, let's leave this on the back burner for the moment, but these are the three issues that I want to come back to when it comes to the parallel of Yibum and Chalitz. Okay. So what I want to do now is finish up what we started before Yontif, and that is to discuss the Hutra Dechuya part of this issue. So what we saw so far, just to remind everybody quickly, is that what we said was, listen, if you look very carefully, it's very appealing to think that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue about Hutra Dechuya. Right? Because Reish Lakish is very, quick, to re-invoke Kares and Yisrei Shasak. He's not worried about, how can you say Chozer V'Neir? And Rabbi Yochanan seems equally comfortable saying that's long gone, never to be revived. And that sounds a very Hutra type thing to say. So what we just said then was one possible approach to the sugya is to say Gufilat Samachokas Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Just like we said, according to the Rambam, that that was goof of the machlokas between Abba Shaul and the Chachamim. Abba Shaul said you need a special kavana when it comes to Yibum, right? It has to be l'shma. Can't be l'shem Davaracher. It can't be l'shem Nechasim. It can't be l'shem Noi, right? So we explained, according to the Rambam, in his tshuva, that goof of the machlokas of both Abba Shaul and the Chachamim, according to the Rambam, is Dechuya versus Hutra. Okay. If the Tanoim can argue, so Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish can argue as well, and that's certainly an approach to take. However, what we noted was two things. Number one, it'll be fine, according to the Chachmei Svarad, practically everybody who paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, because then you're going to be, if you hold Hutra and you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, so you're going to be on the right side of the Machlokas. But if you hold that the Bali Tosis or anybody else holds the Chuya, unless you hold like the Raivid's father-in-law, the Ravi Avad, who paskin like Reish Lakish in this Machlokas, everybody else paskins like Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to end up on the wrong side, right? You can't be on the wrong side of such a Machlokas. So it's not a solution for Bali Tosas types. Even if you're a Chachmei Svarad, the Hutra person, right, you may not want to concede Reish Lakish. Even if you don't paskin like him, you may not want to concede that somebody of the stature of Reish Lakish believes in Dechuya if you really think that the character of Yibum is Hutra. Okay. So it's a bigger, more urgent problem for Bali Tosas, but it's not something to dismiss for Chachmei Svarad. So what we said for Bali Tosas already, one approach, we'll get back to a second approach, was that the Bali Tosas really will tell you, I think, that even Rabbi Yochanan is a Dechuya person. Right? How could that be? If it's really the Chuya person, why isn't there Eishes Ach in the case of the brothers and so on? So I think there could be two answers. The answer we pursued so far is the answer that lo yibne, right, is also a form of isur eshesach. That's what the Bali tells us. Keep emphasizing that lo yibne is nitko, right, lakaris. It's what I think they mean by that is it's the same lav as eshesach. The Torah is mechadesh that the onesh is no longer a karis. That's at the Meiri, we saw that as well inside. The Meiri says that in the Zagdama to the Masechta, and he repeats it on Daf Yud Amud Beis and Yud Aleph Amud Aleph as well. He keeps talking about passing like a Yochanan, and yet there being an Isur Eish HaSach, and then he says, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that this particular Eish HaSach doesn't have Kares. That's certainly what the Meiri meant. If that's what the Bali Tosis mean, then it's fine, and that works very well with the way that the Bali Tosis start. Here, Ihu, who decoy below him. And that Tosa says, this is the second to last Tosas, right, two lines into the wider lines, not the widest lines. Ihu decoy below him. Tosa starts by saying, Ilo habaksiv le yibne, havamina dafilu hu al chalutza, bekares. Tosa tells us exactly what we were asking before. What would it have been if it wasn't for this Kiddush? Right? So I'll show you in a moment that for the Rashba, the Rambam, and others, maybe for Yerushalmi, you know, if you hold like Kutra, then if not for Leivna, you might say Mutter. Right? But Tosa says, if it wasn't for Leivna, what would we say? Kares. Eshesach. So what are we saying now? The Hashta, Eiter, Leivna, Lenatka, Mikares, Lelav, Avalachim, Vetzora, Kedekai, Mikai, Mi, right? Velokoi, Leivna, Layu. Meaning, this is exactly Tosa's Lashitasa. They generally believe in Dechuya. And therefore here, they're taking a Dechuya posture, they're turning Layibne into a moderate Eishes Ach. The Kiddush being that Tfizas Kiddushin depends on the Onesh, not on the broader idea. Which is a 50-50 proposition, and Rishonim definitely, as we say, Nitan Lehayaber, something which is sayable. Okay. That's the Bali Tosis, and then they keep repeating this throughout. They, in the end of the piece, they go back to it, they make it seem like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish both agree. This isn't to say it, Reish Lakish, fine. What will Rabbi Yochanan say about Lo Yivne? In theory, you could have said, oh, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have different perspectives on Lo Yivne. For Reish Lakish, Lo Yivne is a moderated form of Eish Asach, but for Rabbi Yochanan, who's a Hutra person, you know, it's a separate Yisub Bifnei Atzmo. You could say that, right? But Bali Tosis aren't going to want to say that because they want to be able to say Dechuya LaHalacha and they want to pass like a B'yokhanan. So it's no coincidence that this perspective of, you know, Eitzer Lenatke Lekares is said not only with regard to Reish Lakish but with respect to B'yokhanan as well. And this Tosis on the Tosis on Yud Aleph Omen Aleph, on Tosis on Mem Dalet Omen Aleph, etc. That's our first solution. We'll get to another solution later on, but that's our best solution for Bali Tosis. What about the other Rishonim? So they don't have as urgent a problem, number one. And they don't hold like Tosas. The Ramban in Sefer Mitzvos, we read this already, so I won't repeat the reading of it now. But in Shikcha Salabin, the Ramban says, I think the Ramban should have counted Layivna as a lav. He doesn't, he should have. And the Ramban says, and by the way, don't think that Layivna is just a moderation of the Isur Eish HaSach, because it's not. It's an Isur Bifnei Atzmo. It's something that results because of chalitza. When you do chalitza, that generates a new lav, nothing to do with HSR, called lo yivne. Again, if you want to look at the language, just very quickly, so that's the Ramban in our old sheets, not the new sheets. The first piece at the Hasogos Ramban, the Sefer Mitzvah, Shikras Halavin, Mitzvah Yudalid, the Ramban says, Shinimna HaCholitz Livento, after he does chalitza, he has an isur to marry her, right? The ena inin sheyachzor la isur eish hasach. It's almost like Ramban was responding. It's almost like he had the Meiri, maybe he did, and the Bali Tosis, you know, in front of him, saying, "Don't interpret layivna the way the Meiri explicitly and the Bali Tosis implicitly do, because it's wrong." Ramban says, I don't like whether it's always true or in this particular case, or maybe he's bothered by Tzvisos Kiddushin and he's motivated that way. It's hard to know, or maybe he's just saying a general rule. I don't believe in moderated Chai Bei Krisus. Either something is a Chai Bei Krisus or it's not. The idea that it's the same lav or an extension, but a moderated Onesh, you know, there's no such thing. Or There's no such thing in this context. But whatever the case, or there's no such thing without, you know, suffering, you know, Tisa's Kiddushin consequence. Whatever it is, the Ramban is basically rejecting this completely. Now, if you ask me, that's L'shitas So, he is a huge Hutra person, as we know, Tarsa Adam, and the Kiddushim here, and throughout. Okay. So therefore the Ramban rejects this idea. The Rabbi Yochanan is not a problem for the Ramban, but Reish Lakish is. So does the Ramban reject Hutra according to Reish Lakish? Does he concede that Reish Lakish, you know, is a Dechuya person? So here I want to just look at very quickly the Ramban and Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, which we've seen in other contexts. Right? The Ramban here talks about the Gemara Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, which says that you can only do Yibam or Chalitza, one brother, one co-wife. Right? You cannot do multiple Yibums or multiple Chalitzas or a Yibam and a Chalitza. You have to do one, right? One or the other and only one or the other. Right, that's the Gemara that says that. So the Ramban addresses this question, and he says in the second piece, Kedusha Ramban Masechet Yevamah Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, in the Makoros that say Makoros Reba Reish Lakish Tzaras Chalutzah Yevamah, Hachik Garsim Benuske Uni Yavim LeChavayu Bahadur Nachlutz LeChavayu Bahadur Nachlutz LeChada Ben Yavim LeChada Bahadur Yavim LeChada Ben Nachlutz LeChada. The Ramban says the Gemara keeps asking, you know, maybe you should do two Yibums, maybe you should do two Chalitzas, maybe you should do Yibum and then Chalitza, maybe you should do Chalitza and then Yibum. Right? What do they want? We discussed this already. So the Ramban puts it like in short form, but he, by putting it in short form, he highlights, you know, his, like he basically shares with us his thinking on the Sugya. He's saying, listen, I'm impressed with the literary and, you know, intellectual relentlessness of the Gemara. Like, you know, don't they understand already? You're only supposed to do one. Like, do we really have to tell you not two Yibums, not two Chalitzas, not Yibum before Chalitza, not Chalitza before Yibum? We get it already. Apparently we don't. Why don't we? So the Ramban says, Bikula Mishum Ditzmila Milsa Hechachas Mafka Zika Mitzarasa Baby Yibum and Bechalitza. What bothers them is, why shouldn't you have to do multiple? There are multiple brothers, there are multiple wives. Why does a single act of Yibum or a single act of Chalitza get everybody off the hook? Only two people are involved and everybody else is on the sideline. Now, in light of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right, and the question whether, you know, Iyush Nechusa Dekule Achim Kavad, Iyush Nechusa Dekule Achim Kavad, this becomes very fascinating and very connected, right? But Tzorpatim Mochakim, he doesn't like what the Bali Tosis do. This we discussed, I'm going to skip this. I guess we should look at it. But Tzorpatim Mochakim quickly. Benachot Tzachadim Yabam Lachada, Mishum de Mikra, the Ein Cholot Stebatim, Minoshamin in the Bechalitza, Kasmuter Shtem Lushuk, Bo, the Lerish Lakish, the Amar, the Tzara, the Kares, now he's invoking Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So according to Reish Lakish, who say that, aside from the Cholitz and the Chalutza, everybody else has Kares, Tikshi, the Hokimukulakra, Alav, the Dumi, the Chalutza, Atzma, the Eni Ro, the Breyam, the Bechokasvarim, Hele Hokikama. This is the key line that I emphasized when we learned that Gemara, right, about 2 months ago, which is, the Ramban says, listen, and if a man has multiple wives, so one get, you know, can knock off all of his marriages, right? So here, there are multiple Zikos, and one Yibam or one Chalutza knocks off all the Zikos as well. So we understand the difference, we talked about it, right? The Zika is created at a single moment, it's all about stepping in for the dead brother and his marriage, you know, which is a single, you know, action, relationship with multiple, you know, configurations. It's hugely different. If I, you know, want to save money, as I say, on a caterer, and I decide to marry, you know, five women, even if I decide to marry them at the same time, it's still five totally different ishios, and it's only my decision, you know, to marry them, the basachas, you know, that gives the appearance of a collective, you know, wedding. But it isn't the collective wedding, it's five weddings. You know, but that's not true for the Zika, and it's maybe not true for the Yibum and the Chalitza either. But okay, Mishmachi Kasol Kadai Techicham Rachmanim Enochot Shnei Batim Keras Hakasot Shnei Achot Shnayim Ela Porchi Yabin Achor Mehem The Bechada Hu Detoli Rachmanu B'Didei Shem Elo Timotzeich Kein Beinam B'Shnayim Bikach Ezeh Shehirtz is a big chiddush of the Ramban. Ramban says, I might have thought that, you know, you, if there's only one wife and one candidate, so you have a choice to do Chalitza and Yibum. But two wives, you should have to do Yibum to one of them, right? After all, if there's only one, so for us to force you to marry somebody who, you know, is not appropriate for you, you know, would not be, you know, consistent. But there are two candidates. Between two candidates, you can't find wife that you're able to be Yabim, right? That's what the Ramban's saying. That's a Havamina. We don't say this by Halakha. That's really what he's saying. Right? I'll just read that line again so you see that it's there. Mishimachi kasol kataita, techiyam rachmana ve'ena cholet shtei batim, gzeres hakasuv, sholiachot zeshtayim, helal korcha yiyabim achas mehem. The Havamina was, you can't be cholet both, but that's because, not because once you did chalitza, there's nothing more to do. Because you have to be liyabim, one of them at least. Right, the bechada who's the taller rachmana b'didei shemalot imatzeh chen beina. If there's only one candidate, Torah said you can do even the yibum chalitza because you're finicky, you're picky, you know, you're spoiled, whatever it is. You know, we're not going to force that one wife on. But b'shtayim, right? Even if you are finicky and picky and spoiled, right? Yikach eza shehirtza. You've got plenty of option here. Yikach yachlot v'yabim. We don't say this. The kimin shalabana, the afilu reish lapish miyuta hu shalayivne bekulan miulom apmina lelafuke letzara medina. So the day legufe itzrich shein mitzasibum alav. Bahadar havale eishas ach shelo b'makom mitzvah. So the Ramban now kind of gives us an insight into what he thinks reish lapish is saying. What are we saying? According to the Ramban, who holds Hutra, we understand Rabbi Yochanan, because Rabbi Yochanan says, Eshesach has been gone for a while. It's never coming back. But according to Reish Lakish, that, you know, everybody but the Choletz and Chalutza is Eshesach. That sounds an awful lot like the Kuya, right? So the Ramban says, that's not the Kuya. It says the Darach Agav, right? Umimait lamikivin shalabana dafil Reish Lakish. Miuta hu shalayivne vekulan. Miu lo bukmin le lafuke l'tzara medina. We're not going to say that the tzara is no longer eishas ach. So the day legufe itzrich ein mitzasibu malav. Vahadar havle eishas ach shalom makom mitzvah. Aval chalutza makom mitzvah hu vadai uparach yisur eishas ach mina legamre mitzvara. Hilkach leka el alayivne. So the Ramban says as follows. Even though I believe in Hutra, I'm translating a little bit, or elaborating. Even though I believe in Hutra, I don't believe, at least for Reish Lakish, I'm not sure about Rabbi Yochanan, I don't believe in Hutra Mishas Nefila. And I don't believe in an irrevocable Hutra. I believe that as long as there's a Chiyuv, Yibum, or status of Mokom Mitzvah, there's no Yibum, there's no Ishra Ishrasach. It's not overridden. It doesn't exist. But what keeps it at bay is a stira, meaning if there's yibum, then there's no eishasach, not override. The chiyub yibum, or the shame yavama and yavam, is mafkia, not matir, mafkia, eishasach, that's what we mean by hutra. But the second that there's no longer a b'mokl mitzvah, then there's eishasach. Because it wasn't Mufka Lagamri at the time of the Nefila, right? It's just the two can't exist. I don't mean they can't exist, one overrides the other. But Moko Mitzvah Sibum Ein Kan Iser Eshazach Hutra. But Bemokom She'ein Iser, is it Bemokom She'ein Mitzvah Sibum? That's what the Ramban means. And the Ramban says, listen, if you do Chalitza, so you fulfill the Mitzvah of Yibum. That's not Shalom B'Mokom Mitzvah. But if you didn't fulfill the mitzvah, because according to Reish Lakish, we don't say Shlichus, right? So only who fulfilled the mitzvah? the Cholitz and the Chalutza. For them, Parach Mine Yisraeshus Ach Legamri Misvara. That's a beautiful way of saying Hutra. They're now called the Cholitz and the Chalutza. Not Yisraeshus Ach. But for the others, it was a potential candidacy. As long as it was a potential candidacy, a Chiyuv, a shame, or whatever, a Zika. The Zika, the Chiyuv, banished Yisraeshus Ach as a shame. But that was never, there's no Kiyum, because only one fulfilled it. So what does Rabbi Yochanan say? One of two things. Rabbi Yochanan either says, Mi kemidi, this is Hutra Mishas Nefila, not Hutra only because of the Shame Zika or the Chiyu Gibum, or Rabbi Yochanan says, you know, Reish Lakish, I think you're 100% right. There's no Hutra Mishas Nefila. The Hutra is always based on the dynamic of there being what? A Zika and a Chiyav Yibum, a B'mokha Mitzvah. The only thing I disagree with you about is that you seem to think that when a Chalitza takes place, it takes place only between the physically active parties. Right? The Cholitz and the Chalutza. That's where you're wrong, because of the Seifa, which says everybody is involved in the Chalitza is a collective, or it's a representational, or it's Mitzurah. So the Parach Minei Misvara, right, because of the Kiyum Chalitza, that isn't limited just to the Cholitz and Chalutza. Or you could say it this way, it is limited to the, everybody's a Cholitz and Chalutza. If that's the case, so there are two ways to understand Rabbi Yochanan in the light of the Ramban's understanding of Reish Lakish.
There is a fine difference between
it is, but it's a very clear difference still. It's finer. We've bridged. We certainly have bridged the gap. Well, we've done that the second that we've said that it's not irrevocable mishas nefila. So we already know that. But that's true. Now, having said that, the problem of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is a more serious problem for the Rajba and the Ramban. Because the... let me add one other Ramban just for a minute. If you look carefully at Ramban Torah Sa'adam, he never said that Yisraeshus Ach is irrevocable Mishas Nefila, number one. Number two, there's another Ramban which we talked about earlier, again, you know, in our study, of the Ramban Olam HaHamad Beis, where the Ramban talks about Muberes, a woman is pregnant when her husband dies, there are no other children. Question is this child going to remain viable, Zara Shel Kayama, and if there's not going to be, there's only going to be Yisraeshus Ach and no Yibum, or not? So what happens if there is a Yibum or a Chalitza while she's pregnant? Right? So it's a very complicated sugya. We discuss it. It's the Gemara on Lamed Hay, Mishnah and the Gemara on Lamed Hay, Beis, Lamed Hay, Beis. We discuss it in the context of our treatment of the topic, Kol Ha'ola Le'ibam Olo Le'chalitza, Kol She'eno Le'ibam Eno Le'chalitza.
Correct.
So one of the things we point out is that the Ramban is a very interesting shita. The Ramban says, when she's pregnant, right, so if it's only a suffix, oh, you can't be Miyabim her, because if you were to be Miyabim her, and it turns out that the child is viable, he going no Salam Afrei, that there was no Zika, there was only Yisraeshus Ach, and that's Chayvei Nisa. So you can't let him do it. That's how Tosfos seems to read the Gemara. So the Ramban says, that can't be the Pshat in the Gemara. Because if that's true, then he's not allowed to do it, but let's say he did it anyway, and he bet correctly, the child wasn't Shel Kayama, so then even the Yibum should also be Chal. It was a Suffolk, he's a Russia baby, for taking such a risk, right? But it turns out that there was never, right? I'm sorry, if the child is Eina Shel Kayama, turns out that that there was Yibum, and Lamafreya, there should no, be no problem. That's Ramban's question. And Ramban says, I also don't understand why there's no Chalitza. But there'd be Chalitza if it turns out that he bet correctly. What do you say? Kol ol Yibum ol Chalitza? It is only Yibum, it's just Misafek that we don't allow it, don't allow you to gamble. Right? But if Lu Yitzir, you were to take the gamble, and you were to win the gamble, that should be good enough to say that the Chalitza, well, there's no real gamble at all, because what's the worst thing that has no violation of an Isur if you do Chalitza and it turns out that it's, you know, Miutar, but I'll, you know, on the option that it's not Miutar, that it's not gratuitous, but go ahead and do it. So Ramban says, no, I think it's Tos is wrong. I think the pshat in the Gemara is that since it's a Safek, the Mokom Mitzvah, right, there's no Hutra. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean in the onesh sense, because the evidence in the Gemara, and the Ramban agrees with it, is that there's no chayvei chatos. But it certainly means in the shame. Right now, the shame, eishes ach, is not poka, because it's a safek b'moko mitzvah. And that safek b'moko mitzvah is a kind of a din vadai vis-a-vis the shame, eishes ach. Very complicated, I know. But that's what he says. So that Ramban is perfectly consistent with this Ramban here, and Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, meaning the Ramban thinks it's hutra, but as you're correctly pointing out, it's a hutra which isn't so radically distant from the chuya. It's still different because it's not overriding, you know, it's not just a cancellation of the onesh or of the isur gavra. It's more than that. It says the mako mitzvah sibum or zika, there is no shame or isur or status of eshesach. However, it's more dynamic in that when it's shelo b'mokol mitzvah, then there is eshesach. It is chos of v'neir. And that's the Rambam. However, the Rajbah and the Rambam really do seem to formulate hutras that go well beyond the Rambam's. They seem to say this hutra mishas nefila. At the moment that the death takes place, and there's a din of zika and yibum, both Rajbah and Rambam seem to say, at that moment, there's a hutra which irrevocably eradicates Eishasach. If that's true, then what are you going to do about Reish Lakish? So firstly, the first thing I want to point out is that this more radical view of hutra, of the Rambam, and of the Rajbah, is itself based on Rabbi Yochanan. That's the first discovery. If you read very carefully both the Rambam and the Rajbah, will see that their yesod, their big perspective on hutra, happens to be anchored in Rabbi Yochanan. Now, what do they do with Reish Lakish is a different question. But that's the first finding. Why do I say that? Or look at the Rajbah. First, let's look at the Rambam, actually. We'll do the Rabbi Yochanan first, and then we'll go back to Reish Lakish. I'm not sure if we'll finish today. The Rambam, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, we've discussed this Rambam. We've seen it both in the context of this sugya and in the Abba Shaul sugya. One of the reasons we've seen it more than in this sugya is because this is the Rambam. The Rambam in three places formulates Hutra, Mishas, Nefila. This is one of the three. This is the one in Yad HaChazak. In Hilchos Isurei Bia Perek Beis, the Rambam also makes it pretty clear that Eshesach doesn't exist B'makom Yibum. But the formulation that that's true already, Mishas Nefila, and that it's Mistalek Mishas Nefila, as far as I know, appears in three different places, and the language is almost identical. And what's fascinating about it, as I've said before, is that it's across three different genres. Meaning, in his Tshuva about Abishol, in his Perish Mishnayos and Bechoros about Abishol, and here when he talks about Rabbi Yochanan, who we paskin like, in all three places, the Rambam uses almost identical language to say something that is mechudash, right? That's a pattern. Namely, that mishas nefila nistalek iser eshesach. Now, he says it here because he's saying it as an explanation of our psak according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, look carefully on page 2 of the old group. He starts off with the Yibum case. He has the gears of as far as we know, this is a very mechudash makar. Right? As far as we know, no one else quotes this makar. We don't know where the Ram got it from. Allah with all tzaras. The lava babakala say I said. Fine. Then he comes to the what is our resha, his seifa, the chalitza case. Bechina chalutz liyvemto. Nesra hachalutza. The chalutza is off limits. He the kol tzaraseha. She and all of her co-wives. Halacholetz. Yal shar ha'achim. The kulin asura salem. Here the Rambam has a huge kiddush which I want to talk about more. Again, I don't know if I'll get into it this week. Midibre so from kishnios. Rambam compares the Isur of Layiv, what we call Layivna in the Gemara. He doesn't mention Layivna. He never counted in the Minyan of Mitzvot, which is why the Ramban attacked him and said, you should have and you didn't. He never mentions Layivna as an Isser by name. Instead, he calls it Midivrei Sofrim, and he compares it to Shnios, Darayos, which really is Rabbanan. So the Rambam seems to not only postulate Rabbi Yochanan, but to even downplay further Layivna. Meaning, Meiri and Tosa said Layivna were dilutions of Eishes Ach. The Rambam barely wants to give them what the Ramban gave them, which is the status of a lav. He may only think they're Drabanan, or I'll suggest Daraisa, but, you know, a Divrei Sofrim kind of a Daraisa, compared to a Drabanan, Shnios. Shema Achar, listen to the language, and remember, this is it's as if the Rambam got up and said, I paskin like Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara on the Yunamid base, right? And if you want to understand what Rabbi Yochanan's rationale is, here it is. Shema Achar, Shemais Achid, below Vlad, right? When the brother dies without leaving any children, Nistalek Iser Erva, Me'al Kol Nashav, at that moment, right? There's an eradication of Iser Eishasach, Lefikach Tosem, then Kiddushim Kishnios, repeats it again. So, if you're sensitive to it, the Rambam is a Parshan on the Gemara, based on the Rambam's Psak in Yad HaChazaka. In Chosibum, the Rambam is saying, I paskel like Rabbi Yochanan, and Rabbi Yochanan's rationale is Hutra Mishas Nefila. Thank you very much. Wow. That's the Rambam. Question is, how do you understand Reish Lakish? That we're not sure. But that's the Rambam. Ad Kedei Kach, that it's Hutra, as I say, that he even seems to either deny or severely downplay Lo Yivne. We'll get back to that part of it soon. The Rajba likewise has the formulation of Hutra Mishas Nefila in a very dramatic way, which we'll see in just a second, and attributes, anchors it, in other words, in Rabbi Yochanan, in our sugya. Now this Rajba is not about Yud of Base or Yud Aleph of Aleph. You might expect that's where it would be, because that's where we talk about Rabbi Yochanan. But like the Ramban talks about Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish necessarily on Mem Dalet Omer Aleph, right? The Rajba brings it into a different context that makes it more powerful. Right? It shows you that he really thinks Rabbi Yochanan is a linchpin to this whole Yisod. What's the context of the Rajba? Let me tell you first a little bit, and then firstly, this is I think the most famous Rajba in Masachet Yevamos. It's a big statement, but if it isn't the most famous, it's definitely, very close to it. Certainly in the whole Zika Yibum part, it's the most famous Rajba. Okay. This Rajba is quoted by everybody, anybody, anybody who talks about Yibum and Chalitz, Yibum and Zika, they all quote this Rajba. Why? Because it's a sensational Rajba. He himself drum rolls, the announcement of it. Like, I'm about to tell you, the secret, as we'll see in a moment. The Rajba's dealing with the following issue. The Gemara on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph discusses the following problem. You have a case of Zika, right? And you have, a candidate, a Yavama candidate, okay? And after the Zika, before anything happens, the Yavam marries the sister, right, of the Mizukekes, of the Yavama. She is, in other words, Omedes Bezika. He marries her sister. Now, we know that one of the 15 Arayos of the Mishnah is Achos Isha. In other words, if it happened the other way, let's say he was married, two brothers married two sisters, one of the brothers dies childless, and now his sister is up for Yibum with the double brother-in-law meaning her husband's brother, brother-in-law, her sister's husband. Did I say that right? Her sister's husband. Hey, Achos Isha. Okay. So we know that that's one of the 15 cases of the Mishnah, one of the 15 Arayos, where there's no Yibum, there's no Chalitza, there's no Tzaros, right? That's an Erva. Fine. But that's a situation which existed prior to the Yibum. Let's say there is already a Zika, and he takes the initiative and he marries her sister. Right? So you might have thought that would be different. Right? The question is it different? So vis-a-vis the Tzitzas Kiddushin, A, and B, the effect while he's married to the sister, but that there is no Yibum and Chalitza, we treat it identically. Because even though he married the sister after the Zika, right, there's no Yibum and there's no Chalitza because she has the status of Achos Isha. However, since there was initially a Zika, so now the Gemara discusses, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, what will happen if the sister that he married dies? A very active family, right?
Never.
Right. As I say, we can only smile because, you know, we're not talking about real people.
Yeah.
So,
divorce
doesn't help because Achos Isha continues after divorce, but not after death. He's allowed to marry Achos Isha.
The positive sorrows?
Ah, also a good question. So, basically, the Gemara seems to say the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and that according to Rav, he can marry her. He can marry the Zakuka. The Machlokas Rishonim is, he's obligated to marry her, or he's mutter to marry her. So the Chiddush of the Rajba is, the Rajba says there's no obligation, because the Zika is paka. She can, if he's the only candidate, she can marry anybody. And he has no key. But, since they're way back when, before he married her sister, Pozika, right, there was Yibum and Zika, because of that, there's no Eshesach. I'm sorry, there's no Eshesach. Because of Hutra. And once it's Hutra, there's no close of an air ever when it comes to Eshesach. That's the Kiddush and the Rajba. So the Rajba says, in my opinion, there's no Zika, she's Materis Lashon. There's no Chiyuv, he has no obligation. But there's no Isra Eshesach either, because once that's gone, that's gone. And now there's no obstacle of Achos Isha either. So you have a situation where there's no Yibum, right? There's no Chiyuv Yibum, there's no Mitzvah Yibum. It's not the Mokum Mitzvah, in other words. And yet there's no Eshesach.
No,
so he says, how do we know that there is such a thing?
No,
so Rajba says, because it's Hutra, and it's based on Rabbi Yochanan. And I'll read it inside of
Muslim. So there's no Zika because it evaporated once he married the sister, and
there was a Rajba's opinion, and this is where other Rishonim disagree. The Zika cannot be Chozav Neir. It's true that the Eishes Ach cannot be Chozav Neir, but the Zika is not Chozav Neir either. Once it's Paka because he married her sister, it's gone. Other Rishonim will say, well, it has to be one or the other. The only reason that there's no, certainly if you're a Dechuya person, you have to say, well, if there's no Yich Mitzvah Sibom or Zika, then there's an Eishes Ach. Right? Yeah.
So you can't do a
Chalitza
like this.
No, there's no chalitza.
Right.
According to the Rajba.
So marrying her is not really evil.
Right. No. Not evil. Not evil at all. Ishus. Right. 100%. So let's look at it for a minute. And you'll see that what he quotes prominently is Rabbi Yochanan. Okay. It's on the bottom of page 1, the second piece of the Rajba. The first piece of the Rajba that I have here is just to show you that only the Ravid's father-in-law, Paskin, like Rish Lakish. Everybody else passes like a Bielka. Okay.
We have it on page 2.
You have it on page 2? Okay.
The second one.
Mem Aleph Omid Aleph, the second one. So listen to this. It's again, this is very, very famous, Raj. Umitokach Yeshli Lomar. He says, after a very long analysis, like a page and a half previous, with a very, very long Rashba. I'm not sure if it's the longest in Yivamas. It might be the longest in Yivamas, in addition to being most famous. So he has a very long piece, you know, how can you say it, what's going on, how do you explain this whole thing, back and forth. He says, I don't think it's this, I don't think it's that. Mitokach, Ishli Lomar, what I think it really is the law of the member Shateya Yivam is a Kukalo. When the sister that he died, that he marries, that he marries her sister after the Zika, when she dies, he paskins, like Rav paskins, that he, meaning the Yavam, can now marry the woman who was previously the Yavama, So the Rambam says, not because of Zika. Right? Lo lachlots, but lo liyavam. There's no Zika at all. Helamutar bilvad kalamar, kalamar, shilu rotza lisa osa. If he wants to marry her, ena surah lo, there's no obstacle. The Talmud the Milsa Mishum, the Kibbutz, the Bishas, the Fila. Right? Originally, at the beginning of the Zika, when he died, leaving no children, that the Shas called Shas Nefila. Hutra Lo, she at that point was permitted to him as Betaras Yibam. Shuv I Afshar Li Aserba Mishum Eishasach. Eishasach is irrevocably gone. Who could have kind of learned a chalutz libamto? Bein hu, bein achem, en chayavim, lo la chalutzas kares. What's he quoting? What is that, Kirkaimalan? What's he quoting there? Right? And then he says it explicitly in case you missed it. So what's his yesod of his big famous formulation of Kutra Mishas Nefila? Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan. In case you missed it, but Parakama. That's how he reads the Resha, line number one. Exactly what we said, right? Line number one means Hutra. If they were, if these were candidates, there's no cause of an error. The Hachanami, now he's applying it to this interesting case where he married the sister after the Zika and then the sister dies. Kiva the Bishas Nefila Hutra, originally there was a Zika, Shuvi Yafshila Mekam Alabi Yisra Eishasach. There's never going to be, after that point in time, Yisra Eishasach. Ella, however, the Mishum the Kidesh Es Achosa, since he married the sister, who the Nifter Allah, that's what eliminated the Zika. The Zika's gone. Right? Hilta Kol Ishto Kayemes. Of course, as long as the sister is alive, even after he divorces her, there's an Isra Eshasach. But once she dies, maybe there's no Isra Eshasach, even though there's no Zika or Mitzvah. Let there at least be La Yivna. Right? Now, if you thought La Yivna, right? Lohi, the Lohi Minan Hachi, Elikishanas is Bosa. Bias, Maisa Shadokos of the Chalitza, Oshi Yibem, Nachas Mehem. If there was a Yibem and a Chalitza, that creates a new din, right? Of Lo Yivne. But in this Achos Isha case, there's no Lo Yivne and there's no Eshasach, there's nothing. The Koyatzar, Lo Yivne, Habishanitche Sivama, Nimela, Bekidushi Achusa, but in the case where the only obstacle to marrying her, right, is the Achos Isha, and then she dies. No, there's no Lo Yivne either. Elisha Niftara Mimeno. Benesra Gamke Nolot Machos HaGorim, namely Eshas Achos Isha, Ukishin Estalek HaGorim, because she dies, the sister dies, Batale Isar, Ukidom Rabbi Yochanan, and so on, different Rabbi Yochanan. So what we see from the Rajba, this is the famous Rajba, it's called, you know, Hutra Benesra, they call it Hutra Benesra Bechazar Behutra. Right? So Hutra Benesra, because of Hutra, says the Rajba, is Hutra even without the Zika, even without the Yibum, right? That's what we're always looking at. That's one of the isolation cases that we're looking for, you know, in terms of Hutra. Now the Rishonim disagree.
He had brothers. No.
Yeah, because she always was.
So can he, so then there is a Zika established, it doesn't disappear. Can he marry her afterwards?
As far as I know, it shouldn't make a difference. So then you have a situation where the brothers have Zika, except that she's still Mizukekes. So she's a Yivam Lashuk. So then she'd have the status of Yivam Lashuk. But not an Aishas. Ach. There'd be no Zika, in other words, Liyibum for him. But she would be still Zekuka because of the other brothers, so it would be a situation of Yavama Lashuk for him. That would be interesting. It's a good trivia. Right? How could it be that you know, one of the brothers will be prohibited, you know, to her, Betoras, not Eshazach, but Yavama Lashuk? That would be the case.
But this brother that married her sister
Because of her Tama.
Could marry her again? Could marry her?
Not that she's a Yavama Lashuk, but because of the Issa Yavama Lashuk. But let's say, for example, I don't know whether it would be Lo Yivne if one of them did Chalitza. That would be interesting. I don't know what the Rajba would hold about that. Okay. Anyway, this is that. What does the Rajba say, and what does the Rambam say? Well, we'll have to finish this next week, about Reish Lakish. Right? Bishlam with the Ramban, we were able to say, you know, the Ramban just doesn't believe. He believes in Hutra very strongly, but he doesn't believe in Hutra Mishas and Nefila. He has a more dynamic, right? There's Hutra, Kolzman, that there's a Zika, or a B'machom Mitzvah. But we tried to prove from the Rambam and the Rajba and Dafka based on Rabbi Yochanan is that Hutra Mishas Nefila, right, is irrevocable. So is it that that's the Nekuda that Reish Lakish disagrees? Reish Lakish says Nechuya, maybe. We don't have some Paschim like him. Or Reish Lakish says, you know, we said for the Ramban, but we don't Paschim like that. Or maybe there's a third way, a way to suggest that even according to Hutra, Mishas Nefila, there's a way to explain Reish Lakish. So that's what I want to get to next week, and then I want to go back and understand the Rambam sheet about Layivne and Shnios, and we'll try to wrap up everything if we can. So we need these Marmakobos still, but we especially need the new Marmakobos for next week. We'll leave up.